From Capital Analytics, I'm Abby Maloney, and this is Invest Insights. Every week, we bring you perspectives, business advice, and more from the leading executives, entrepreneurs, and investors who are building, diversifying, and leading the way in the country's fastest-growing metro markets. Real leaders, real insights, right now. Welcome to Invest Insights. I'm Abby Maloney. I'm joined today by Carol Post, the Administrator for Development and Economic Opportunity for the City of Tampa. Carol, thank you so much for joining with me today.
My pleasure. It's great to be here.
We're going to talk a lot about how the economy has been changed forever due to the pandemic, and we'll look at those new norms, the new business strategies, new operations. But before we get there, I want to ask you, what are some new personal norms that you started during the pandemic that you know you're going to carry with you into this post-pandemic landscape? Any new hobbies or interests, ways of organizing yourself, technologies?
Well, I think we're all, it's a great question. I think we're all obviously have been exposed to a lot of new technologies that have reshaped the way we interact with our colleagues and those outside of our organizations. I think for me, and maybe others that have interacted, the Zoom calls and the digital engagement has been streamlined, but it also sort of has jam-packed days together. So there's sort of no break, whereas you used to in kind of a normal environment, you'd have a break between meetings. But now Zoom calls can just literally go from one end to the next. And what I've tried to do is incorporate some non-work related aspects into the day and calendaring them. So the calendar becomes kind of my activity Bible. And whether it's before work and even after work, you know, calendaring in a run or something like that makes me sort of feel more committed to it. So those are some things I hope will stick for the post-COVID environment.
Between two Stanley Cups and a Super Bowl win, the term Champa Bay couldn't be further from the truth. In what ways have these wins translated to economic boon for the city? And how is Tampa looking to leverage this national exposure to benefit tourism, hospitality, and the sports industry overall?
Great question. We love talking about the success of the Tampa Bay region around our sports franchises. It's been remarkable. You know, those wins by sports franchises of that caliber cannot be underestimated in terms of their economic impacts. In addition to bringing the national and in many cases global recognition to our city, they also foster really a unique sense of civic pride. And that level of pride and passion, you can sense it around the city and outside the city. And the heightened awareness and the visibility, it attracts visitors, business relocations, individuals, families that really want to be a part of something that's positive and exciting. And I think the numbers reflect this. Tampa's growing at a really rapid pace. Mm. Its population has increased more than 20% since the last census counts. We've got a lot of data on that. And those trends are not stopping. And frankly, we really plan to leverage Champa Bay and that brand and kind of join it with our already friendly and welcoming spirit here to continue to promote tourism and hospitality and drive visitors and businesses that want to be part of an enthusiastic and frankly a championship location. Doesn't hurt to have the celebrity factor involved, the Tom Brady effect and whatnot. Sure. But we're really going to capitalize that. And I think just having a community and regional partners that are all aligned. You know, the sports franchises are a great win, but really what the win is that our city is bonded together across so many organizations, whether it's our Visit Tampa Bay organizations, our Sports Authority, Hotel and Motel Associations, our Chambers of Commerce, our Convention Center. We really work closely every day to capitalize and bring a unified effect to recruitment to the city.
Now that it seems we are finding ourselves in an ever more post-pandemic environment, what are the key distinctions between pre- and post-pandemic economy, and what are the ways in which the City of Tampa's economic priorities have changed to reflect this new reality?
That's a good question. I think the biggest distinction for us from an economic vitality perspective around tourism and visitation concerns travel decisions. You know, a lot of people in the past are visitation was made up from out of region populations. And so for tourists and business visitors planning events, knowing that a destination like Tampa Bay is so far ahead of the curve for accommodating a post-COVID environment is going to set us apart. And I think it really starts with the excellent sort of rigorous protections that you'll find at our Tampa airport, and then the range of outdoor events and venues and activities that we have available to us in the region. I think you saw a lot of this play out during Super Bowl 55. It was one of the world's largest events, spanning a two-week time period. And it was mostly done in outdoor venues. It was spread across miles of riverfront attractions. And I'm not sure there's many other cities that could have pulled that off as well as we did. And I think that post-Super Bowl and post-COVID, having the outdoor attractions like Busch Gardens and Zoo Tampa and many other outdoor engaged environments will really help visitors, travelers, even business entities who are seeking organized events to do that safely in our city.
I want to circle back to the Super Bowl experience that you just mentioned. You know, we forget because the time seems to be a little bit intangible nowadays. Like, did 2020 really exist? And how long ago did the vaccine come out? But when the Super Bowl did happen, that was when the vaccine was still being rolled out, still wasn't widely available. And the city of Tampa went forward with the hosting this Super Bowl. A lot of planning went into that. I'm sure a lot of nerves as well. Can you tell me what it was like to plan for an event like that at such an unprecedented time? And what were the measures that you took in place and maybe some lessons learned that you'll continue to consider for large-scale events like that in the future?
Yeah, we work very closely with the organizers here locally and as well as representatives of the NFL. And I think for that time, these things get planned year plus in advance. So we had been working on it before COVID. And when COVID occurred, as you recall, it sort of happened in March of 2020. We thought it would all end by June or July. And as it dragged on, we kept forging ahead with the Super Bowl planning and kept adapting as COVID presented new challenges. And to the credit of everyone involved, even by December, there was still an uncertainty about exactly what the event would look like, how many would be allowed in the stadium, and what the pre and peripheral events would all be. And again, I think that was really credited to all the individuals involved and the unique assets of our city, having so many outdoor venues and that miles of Riverwalk, which is where the NFL experience ended up basing its attractions. All of that reflected in a successful event and was managed somewhat, you know, very 11th hour. But I think we were able to demonstrate our ability to adapt and adjust as circumstances were changing and ultimately pull off a very successful event. And I think one thing that will persist, as you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who were in the Super Bowl and the home team, won. And so in order to celebrate that great accomplishment, we needed to identify, like the Super Bowl itself, a unique way of planning for the celebration. And we came up with our ticker tape parade being in the river. And it became a river event spread across miles of our riverfront walkways and river walk. And it proved to be incredibly successful. We've continued it for the Stanley Cup Championship. And it enables both the players to immerse into and be celebrated, and all the members of our community to engage in that, but to do it outdoors, safely separated across miles of waterfront, and do it in such a unique way that we've sort of tagged that as our trademark. And even I think years after COVID, when we are still, if we're ever allowed to ever all be back in a closed environment, I'm sure we will still opt to have our riverfront celebration.
Yeah, and that riverfront is a great asset to Tampa and Tampa being on the water in general. However, it makes it vulnerable to the impacts of climate change. How do these considerations for the impact of climate change guide economic decisions for the city? And how is that present in this year's city budget?
Good question. As much as it is an incredible asset, it is also a challenge. And in 2020, the city appointed our first ever chief resiliency officer. And a year later, that office and that CRO has issued a roadmap for Tampa's long-term sustainability plan. And there's nearly 150 recommendations that we will tackle in the months and years ahead. We do that with the support of community groups and experts. But these investments are reflected throughout the way we're operating now and reflect that we're taking these threats seriously. I think you see it best that our mayor has already demonstrated a significant commitment to this agenda with the PIPES program. It's something that actually was entailed in our prior year's budget. It's Tampa's largest public infrastructure plan in its history. It's a $3 billion program that'll span over probably 20 years to fund water and wastewater improvements. It's one of those things that's not very sexy, but it's a critical way to reduce climate impact.
Absolutely.
While we strengthen our existing infrastructure and get ready for those shocks and stresses. So you will see that commitment to sustainability really integrated into all our departments and all our decision making from here moving forward.
And now that we find ourselves in this new landscape, what's next for the city of Tampa and the local economy?
Well, I'd like to think a lot of progressive and positive things. I think despite COVID and the real challenges that it presented to our city and its residents and our businesses, I'm personally very bullish on Tampa, and I think many, many others are. I think you see that in the new businesses that are continuing to relocate here. We have Pfizer recently relocate. We have a lot of new restaurants and locally owned businesses that are opening every day and new residents that are continuing to cause us to grow rapidly. And while growth is certainly our future and it's a good one, we are realistic as well about managing that growth and ensuring that we are collaborating across advocates and experts and community groups to do that in a positive and equitable manner. So I think we have nothing but a bright future ahead, and it won't be easy to ensure that we do this in a wise, sustainable, smart way. But I think we have all the tools in place and the leadership at the helm to make Tampa this country's next great city.
Great. Well, thank you again. That's Carol Post, the Administrator for Development and Economic Opportunity for the City of Tampa. My name is Abby Malone. Carol, thank you again. You've been listening to Invest Insights. Be sure to follow, rate, and review this podcast to hear more. I'm Abby Malone. Thank you for tuning in.